40% Bran Flakes really the best tasting cereal of them all?
Well, your father says so, and father knows best.
Yes, it's Father Knows Best, transcribed in Hollywood, starring Bob Dutton as father. A half-hour visit with your neighbors, the Andersons, brought to you by Instant Sanko, the delicious coffee that lets you sleep, and Post 40% Bran Flakes. Mother, next time you're choosing a cereal, remember, new Post Bran Flakes give your family all the important keep regular benefits of bran in a cereal with the delicious new Magic Oven flavor. Insist on Post Bran Flakes, the cereal preferred and eaten by far more people than any other Bran Flakes. They are wonderful for breakfast, lunch, or in between meals. So get Post Bran Flakes this weekend. They are good, and so good for you. Well, the town of Springfield is lovely to behold this Christmas Eve. About noon today, the first snowflakes began to fall, and soon the air was filled with a whirling Christmas. Came down heavily all afternoon. Now every lawn and park is white, every roof and chimney top. And out on Maple Street this frosty Christmas Eve, every house seems to have its windows brightly aglow. Every house, that is, except the Andersons. They're not home. You see, well, let's go back to 10 o'clock this morning. Margaret was wrapping packages on the dining room table, and Jim was helping her, like this.
Hold your finger on this, will you, dear?
Mm-hmm.
There we are. That knot should hold, don't you think?
Honey, are you planning to send me along with the package?
Why? What's the matter?
You tied my thumb in there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ugh. There. Now, I wonder if there's anyone I've forgotten.
Well, from the number of packages scattered around here, you couldn't have forgotten anyone. Not in Springfield, anyway.
Oh, there's not so many there. It just looks like a lot.
I can't figure it out.
Hmm?
We don't know that many people.
All right, now look. This one goes to the Kirbys.
Mm-hmm.
You remember last year they gave us that lovely salad bowl, and we only sent them a card.
Mm-hmm.
This one is for the Morrises. I feel we certainly owe them a gift.
But honey, don't you know that...
But now wait. You asked a question, and I'm answering you.
All right.
This package goes to the Rodneys. I didn't send them a thing last year, and the year before that, they gave us that huge box of pears.
I know, but we...
And this package goes to the Carters, and then there's the Blakes, and the Rogers, and the Milbanks, and the Duplains, and the Newmans, and the Lewises. They all gave us something last Christmas. You see, I keep a record of these things, dear. I have it all written down.
Well, that's fine. I'm not objecting to the idea of remembering our friends at Christmas.
Well, you wondered why all the packages.
Well, it just seems that suddenly Christmas has lost something. It used to be so much simpler. The spirit of Christmas had a different meaning.
Well, I know, dear, but when people have given to us...
That's it, honey. It's become a matter of bookkeeping. Christmas used to be a quiet and beautifully religious holiday. A time for the children, a time for bringing happiness to others. What has it become? A mad scramble to buy a lot of things you can't afford to give to people who don't need them.
Now, dear.
Why can't we have Christmas the way it used to be? Quiet and simple, with the real Christmas spirit. When you gathered your family and friends around the fire and children hung up their stockings and the church bells on Christmas Eve and the carolers singing. That's the way Christmas should be.
I know, dear, but...
Mother!
I'm in the dining room, Betty.
I'm going to wash my hair now, Mother. So if Janie calls, will you take the message?
What message?
Well, it's very important, you see. Janie knows simply dozens of girls who work at Burton's department store, and they're going to call her the second Ralph comes in the store, and then Janie's going to call me.
Princess, if you'll forgive my unseemly curiosity, what's the purpose of this elaborate spy system?
Why, to find out what Ralph's going to give me for Christmas, naturally.
Oh, naturally.
But, dear, a Christmas present is supposed to be a surprise.
Of course, Mother, but how can I be surprised if I don't know what kind of gold locket that's heart-shaped with my initials on it he's going to buy me?
Wait a minute. How's that again?
I'll be upstairs, Mother. If Janie calls, you needn't call me to the phone, unless the locket is a wristwatch.
Well, now, if that doesn't beat a...
Well, now, don't let it upset you. She's just a normal teenage girl.
But, honey, the whole idea of Christmas is to...
Hey, Dad, Mom!
Oh, dear.
We're in the dining room, Bud.
Hey, tonight's Christmas Eve. Can you believe it? Christmas Eve!
Yeah.
And you'd better go downtown, down to the basement, and bring up the decorations for the tree.
We haven't gotten a tree yet. Besides, I haven't got time right now. Joe and I got to get some stuff together. We're going out with Christmas carols.
Christmas carols? You?
Now don't question him, Margaret. Thank heavens there's one person in this family who has the true Christmas spirit. Allow me to congratulate you, son. You have the right idea. There's nothing finer on Christmas Eve than to go around singing carols.
Oh, we're not going to sing them, Dad.
Oh, what are you going to do with them?
Well, we got a deal with Gus down at the used car lot. He has a sound truck, you know, with the big horns on top and a record player inside.
Oh, no.
Now, wait. This is a cool idea. Gus is going to drive the sound truck all over town this afternoon, and Joe and I, we're going to be inside playing the Christmas Carol records.
Bud!
Well, I'm not really going to play the records. Joe's going to do that, and I'm going to read the commercials.
Commercials?
Sure, for Gus McCarthy's used car lot. Joe plays the carols, and then I read a commercial. I got some cool ideas. How do you like this one? It starts out, "Rest ye merry gentlemen in the 1936 two-door sedan with white wall-side tires."
Oh.
But maybe you'd better...
Oh, what fun it is to ride in a 1940 club coupe with overdrive and Nootsie covers.
Look, Bud, now, wait a minute.
I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus in a 1948 convertible with radio and heater. How do you like those? Pretty good, huh, Dad?
Pretty good. Bud, have you lost your mind? This is Christmas.
Your father's right, Bud. That's carrying it entirely too far.
But if I don't work on the truck this afternoon, I won't get to ride on it in the parade tonight.
Bud, a parade on Christmas Eve?
Sure, the big Santa Claus parade. They're gonna have floats and bands and cowboys, all kinds of stuff.
What? No skyrockets? Well, now I've heard everything. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Introduced with a brass band.
Daddy?
What is it, kitten?
When are we going to get our tree?
Oh, you'd better go down and get us one, dear. They'll all be gone.
I could have gotten one wholesale from Gus's used car lot. He sells Christmas trees, too.
Oh, can we have a purple tree this year, Daddy?
A purple tree?
They're selling them on the vacant lot next to the pool hall. Red, yellow, pink, orange, purple. You can get any color you want, except green.
If you're talking about the tree, I vote for a pink one.
What's wrong with green?
Nothing, except it looks like a tree.
Well, what's a tree supposed to look like?
Daddy, can we get one of those neon lights?
Oh, for Pete's sake. Neon lights, purple Christmas trees, brass bands. What has happened to you kids? Have you forgotten the meaning of Christmas? Have you forgotten everything you learned in Sunday school?
No, Father. It's just that things are different now than when you were a boy. This is 1953.
Different nothing. You can change everything else, but not Christmas. Am I right, Margaret?
You have the floor, dear.
The whole trouble is that Christmas has been turned into another super colossal all-color production. Well, it's all wrong. And as far as this family is concerned, we're putting a stop to it. This year, we're going to celebrate Christmas as it should be celebrated. Simply and naturally, without all the hoop-de-doo and fal-de-ra, this is going to be a real Christmas.
I don't understand what you mean, Father.
Well, to begin with, we're not going to buy one of those painted trees. We're going to get in the car and drive up to Pine Mountain and cut our own tree.
Oh, boy, can we, Daddy?
You don't really mean
Certainly
that.
Certainly I do. You kids, gather up some warm clothes. Bud, get the saw out of the garage.
But, Father, it's at least 50 miles up there.
You can buy a tree for a couple of bucks, Dad.
Now, that's what I'm talking about. All you kids can think of is buy, buy, buy. This is a part of Christmas you've never even experienced, going out into the woods and cutting your own Christmas tree.
The weather forecast said snow today.
Oh, we'll be up there and back in 3 or 4 hours. It's not going to snow that much. Besides, I have chains. Now get your coats.
I'm getting mine. I'm ready.
Oh, this sounds like a real peachy Christmas.
It will be, Princess. You'll see.
Dear, I have all those packages to deliver to the Rogers and the Newmans and...
We'll throw them in the car, honey. We'll deliver them on our way back.
You're sure this is a good idea?
Am I sure? Margaret, believe me, this is going to be a Christmas none of us will ever forget.
Are we almost there, Daddy?
Oh, just another mile or two, maybe. Oh, is that snow coming down?
It isn't cornflakes.
Well, it's just a little flurry. Nothing to worry about. Come on, cheer up, everybody. It's almost Christmas Eve.
What is there to cheer up about?
Joe's probably out on the sound truck playing Deck the Halls with Boughs of Holly and selling cars like
but
crazy.
We're not talking about that, remember?
Okay.
Now, if you kids think you have a hard life, look at that little grocery store back off the road there. Miles from everything. How would you like to live there?
Well, I wouldn't. That's all. I just wouldn't.
What if you had to?
Well, I wouldn't.
What if you had to?
I said I wouldn't.
Yeah, but what if you had to?
Father, make Bud stop it.
Bud, stop it.
Are we almost there, Daddy?
Oh, it won't be long, kitten. Look at that snow drifting down. Isn't that beautiful? We're going to have a white Christmas.
It's lovely, dear, but do you think we should go any farther?
Oh, it's just around the next bend.
Why we had to drive clear up here into the wilderness to get a Christmas tree.
You'll understand, Princess, when we're back home this evening, when the fragrance of the tree fills the whole house.
What happened, Daddy?
Nothing. Snow's a little deeper here.
Father, we're not moving.
Are we stuck, Dad?
No, we're not stuck.
Why aren't we moving?
Dear, we can't go any farther. It's snowing so hard now you can't see ahead. Can't you turn around?
I won't try to turn around. The only thing we can do is back up.
We're not moving.
What's the matter, Dad?
I'm afraid we're stuck.
Jim, we can't be.
Now there's nothing to get excited about. We'll get out of here somehow. Take the wheel, Margaret. Bud and I'll get out and push. Come on, Bud.
I can't even see.
What do you want me to do, Jim?
Put it in reverse.
I can't hear you.
The snow's getting deep, Dad.
It's no use. We can't move it. Shut off the motor, Margaret.
So, what'll we do now, dear?
Well, we'll have to leave the car and walk back.
Walk back?
Yeah, well, come on. Everybody out. Take the keys, Margaret.
All right. Button up your coat, Kathy. Betty, bring those two blankets.
We can't walk all the way back in this snow.
I know that. We're going back to that little grocery store we passed. It's only about a quarter of a mile. Close the car doors. I'll carry Kathy. Now, all stay together.
We'd better hurry, it's getting dark.
Daddy?
Yeah?
It's almost Christmas Eve.
Yes, almost.
I got snow on my shoes, snow down my neck.
Can you see where we're going, Jim?
Yeah, I can see.
Marooned, on top of a mountain, in a blizzard.
All right, stop complaining. It could be worse.
Yeah, we could have come up here in our bathing suits.
I don't know why we had to come up here.
Yeah, what was the idea?
Well, I'll tell you, my freezing friends. This is that warm and beautiful event known as a simple, old-fashioned Christmas.
Here's a pre-Christmas story. It begins in a house and concerns, if you please, a young husband and spouse. They're hanging up holly wreaths, trimming the tree, wrapping dozens of presents to fill all with glee. Then hark, as the hall clock strikes 10, they both stop. And worn out and tired in a chair, they both drop, says the man with a yawn. Do you think, dear, we might, though it's late, risk some coffee and maybe a bite? Says his wife with a grin that is cheery and bold. You can have all the coffee you think you can hold, for I bought instant Sanka just for your sake. It's free from caffeine, will keep no one awake. So they sat and sipped Sanka and found it so good, they drank even more than they usually would. Yet when later that night Santa poked in his head, both husband and wife were asleep in their bed. There's my story, my friends, and though not like the jingle, that whimsical legend of Cheery Kris Kringle, it carries a message important and true. You can drink instant Sanka and sleep the night through.
Well, as I said earlier, the white frame house on Maple Street is dark this Christmas Eve. About noon today, Jim Anderson revolted against his family attitude toward Yuletide and decided that this year they should discover the joys of a simple, old-fashioned Christmas. Nice thought? Yes. How's it working out? Terrible. They drive up to Pine Mountain to cut their own tree and end up in a snowbank. Now, with the car abandoned, Jim and the family grope their way through the blizzard toward an isolated roadside store. Like this.
I think my nose is frozen.
How much farther is it, Daddy?
Well, it must be right ahead of us. If it weren't snowing so hard, we could probably see it.
There it is, Dad. See the light?
Yeah, yeah.
There's the store, Mommy.
Oh, well, thank heaven.
That looks real pretty for Christmas Eve, doesn't it? Holly wreath on the window and all.
All I'm interested in right now is getting back to Springfield. I'm supposed to be at least 3 parties tonight.
If we get back in time, I can still ride in the parade with Joe on the sound truck.
All those gifts are still in the car, Jim. We have to get them out somehow. They have to be delivered tonight.
Oh, all right. One thing at a time. Let's get in here and thaw out first.
Oh, boy. Nice and warm.
Daddy, look at that. They've got a fire in a barrel.
That's not a barrel, kitten. That's an old-fashioned potbelly stove.
Oh, this looks like the kind of store my father used to talk about.
Yeah?
Yeah, look at the stuff hanging from the ceiling. Lanterns and snowshoes, all kinds of junk.
By golly, it smells just like the old general store back in my hometown.
Who runs the place?
I wouldn't be surprised if it's Lum and Abner. Hello? Anybody here?
Where's the telephone?
Oh, it's here someplace.
You children had better take your coats off now.
I was just putting the bacon on the stove. We weren't expecting anyone in tonight. How did you folks get up here?
Well, our car stalled up the road. I wonder if we could use your telephone.
Well, you'd be most welcome to use it, if we had one.
No telephone?
Well, hello there. Is that your car that snowed in up the road?
Yes, that's ours.
We must have passed on the road without seeing each other. I just walked up there to see if you needed help.
Well, that was very thoughtful of you. We were looking for a telephone.
Well, I guess the nearest phone is down at the Harper's place, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah, and you'll never make it down there tonight, not with the snow coming down like it is.
But how are we going to get back to Springfield?
I'm afraid you're not going to get back tonight, miss. Probably not tomorrow either. I wouldn't feel too bad about it, miss. It may not seem, so noticeable, but it's Christmas here too, you know. And since Maggie and me were marooned up here in a manner of speaking, and since you folks are stranded too, why don't we just say we're all stranded together? Snowbound, as it were.
Well, that's very nice of you, but I'm not...
We can't just move in on you.
Well, why not? You look like nice folks, and Tom and me are alone here. I'll put some more plates on the table, and there's plenty of beds upstairs.
Can we do it, Mommy? Please, please?
It seems like a dreadful imposition.
It's nothing of the kind. I'm Tom Terrell, and this is my wife, Maggie.
Oh, how do you do? Well, we're the Andersons. The little one here is Kathy, our boy, Bud, our daughter, Betty, and my wife, Margaret.
Hello.
And I'm Jim.
Well, we're happy you're going to be with us.
Thank you.
We hadn't planned much of a Christmas, just the two of us. But now that there's some kids around, by golly, it's beginning to seem like Christmas. Come on, help me light up some more lamps, Bud.
Okay.
I'll tell you what we always did with our youngsters on Christmas. We gave them the run of the store. So help yourselves, candy, cookies, anything you want.
Oh, boy, you mean it, really?
Oh, go help yourselves.
Oh, man.
Steady now, don't get carried away.
Oh, Mother, look at these adorable old-fashioned teacups.
In a minute, dear.
Look here, Bud, look at this.
Yeah, but look at this.
Listen to him. My golly, it's good to hear youngsters around the place again.
How many children do you have?
2, a boy and a girl. But they're both grown up now, gone away. Seems like such a short time we had them with us. Well, would you like to come out in the kitchen with me, Margaret?
Yes, I'll help you put things on.
Jim, if you want to hang up your things, the bedrooms are right up the stairway there.
Oh, good. I'll take these blankets and coats up.
Well, you kids finding anything back there?
Sure, all kinds of stuff. I found a school book back here, Mr. Terrell. It's the same one I use.
Yeah, it belonged to my daughter. She looked a lot like you when she was your age.
Did you have some kids, Mr. Terrell?
Yes, we have 2, Bud.
Where are they, Mr. Terrell?
Why, they've grown up and gone, Kathy.
Aren't you lonesome without your children?
Yes, we are sometimes. I think we miss them most at Christmas time. You kids just don't know how much you mean to your folks at Christmas.
We never thought about it.
I guess we always just thought how much Christmas meant to us.
We used to have our tree here by the stove, and Judy and Bill would decorate it and put the candles on it. The tinsel and the stars and the little glass bells, they're all in the box back in the corner where the kids packed them away.
Don't you have any Christmas?
No, Kathy, not anymore. There's no one to decorate the tree.
Tom, I need some wood for the stove.
All right, I'll get it. I'll get it.
What you crying about, Shrimp?
I just feel sad.
Bud?
Yeah?
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Maybe.
Well, climb up on a box and get down those snowshoes. You're going back to the car.
Well, what's wrong with the children, Margaret? They didn't eat.
I don't know. They're plotting something.
They've run me out of the store. Told me to stay back here and lock the door.
Maybe you'd better go and see what they're doing, Jim.
Oh, they're all right, honey. Leave them alone.
Well, whatever they're doing, they've been at it for over an hour.
All right, everybody, come in now.
Turn off all the lamps.
Well, for pity's sake, what are they...
Well, let's go in.
Oh.
Well.
What in the world?
Well, will you look at that?
It's Christmas Eve, remember?
Oh, a tree decorated and with candles.
From the Andersons. Merry Christmas to Mr. and Mrs. Terrell.
If that don't beat all.
It's beautiful, kids. How did you do it?
Well, Mr. Terrell said they had decorations. So Bud went up to the car and got the saw and some things, and then he went out and cut the tree.
I helped put on the decorations.
Look what's under the tree.
Where'd those packages come from?
Santa Claus?
You can't open them till Christmas morning.
Margaret, are those your packages from the car?
I told them they could do it, dear. They changed the tags.
I guess this is a miracle, Mother. We have a family again, gathered around the Christmas tree.
Just the way it used to be.
Snow coming down outside, candles on the tree, a warm fire in the stove.
Oh, it's lovely. So lovely.
The only thing that's missing is the Christmas carol. Judy, when she was a little girl, would stand up at the top of the stairs, and the way she sang, it reminded you of the angels who sang it to the shepherds on that wondrous night. Kathy? Well, where is Kathy?
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by.
Yet Father?
Yes, Francis?
Thank you for our first real Christmas.
This is Bob Dutton. From all of us in the Anderson family to all of you, a most sincere wish that the Christmas spirit in its fullest meaning be yours for now and always. Good night.
Join us again next week when we'll be back with Father Knows Best, starring Bob Dutton as Jim Anderson. Until then, good night and good luck from the makers of Post 40% Bran Flakes, the cereal preferred and eaten by far more people than any other Bran Flakes, and Instant Sanka, the delicious coffee that lets you sleep. Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve. The Kraft Cheese Company, who also bring you the Kraft Music Hall every Thursday night, present each week at this time Dale Leopold as The Great Gildersleeve, written by John Whedon and Sam Moore. Well, in Summerfield, too, Christmas is almost at hand. But for Gildersleeve and his household, there's little cheer in prospect. For Gildersleeve has had a falling out with his niece, the apple of his eye. It was one of those family feuds where everybody went off half-cocked.
Don't you talk like that about Wally Hoff.
I'll say what I please about Wally Hoff. And don't let me catch you going out with him again. 3 o'clock in the morning.
I'm old enough to choose my own friends. I'll go out with him if I like.
Oh, you go out with him again, young lady, and you'll stay out. Just take your choice.
All right, I will.
Well, now, that was yesterday. Marjorie left home without a word and hasn't been seen since. Now, after a miserable, sleepless night and a glum breakfast, Gildersleeve rises from the table, prepared to take steps.
By George, I can't stand this.
What are you going to do, Unc?
Yeah, what are you going to do, Mr. Gildersleeve?
I'm going to put an ad in the paper.
An ad?
I don't care whether it makes me look foolish or not.
You mean, come home, all is forgiven, one of those?
Yes, that's very good, my boy. Come home, Marjorie, all is forgiven.
Excuse me, Mr. Gildersleeve, but who is forgiven who?
What's that?
Seems it might work better if Miss Marjorie was forgiving you. Just a suggestion.
Yeah, you know these redheads when they get their back up.
I see what you mean. Well, confound it, how can I apologize to her if she doesn't stick around? What do you think I ought to do, Bertie?
I don't know, Mr. Gildersleeve, but I tell you what I'm doing. I'm praying.
Well, not a bad idea.
Yes, sir, because last night something came to me, and it wasn't good.
What was it, Bertie?
Mr. Gildersleeve, you don't think maybe the Black Hand has got her?
Hey, Bertie's right. Maybe some gang is holding her for ransom.
Oh, Bertie, you've been reading Leroy's comic books.
Well, it ain't like Marjorie to stay away from home all night, and that's a fact.
She might be lying somewhere, bound and gagged, with adhesive tape over her mouth.
Oh, nonsense. You saw her telegram.
Yeah, but it could have been fake. Or maybe they made her write it by holding candles to her bare feet.
Oh, poo.
They do. They tie you in a kitchen chair with your arms behind you like this.
Leroy's right, Mr. Gildersleeve. I think maybe they ought to be searching the woods or dragging the reservoir or something.
Oh, don't talk like that.
If we only had that dog right now, that dog I've been asking for Christmas, we could trail her. Dogs can smell people, you know. They can follow them.
Never mind.
Besides, a dog is protection. They bark if anyone comes near the house.
Leroy, will you...
Dogs are economical, really, too, because they eat up all the scraps. They don't chew things if you train them right. If I had one, I'd train them.
Leroy, how can you be thinking about a dog when your sister may be... Oh, it's ridiculous. Thing like this couldn't happen to Marjorie.
I don't know, Mr. Gildersleeve. I noticed some strange people around here lately.
What kind of people?
Well, that new milkman, I don't trust him. He's got a wandering eye.
Oh, the milkman's all right. It's tramps and people like that you gotta look out for. Suspicious characters.
Yeah!
They move into a town and hide out for a few days till they spot the most prominent people, the ones they think have money.
Yeah!
Oh, what am I talking about? The whole thing's ridiculous. I wish you two shut up. You got me nervous. Just because Marjorie flew off the handle, just because she didn't say where she was going, just because she stayed out one night. Oh, by George, ridiculous or not, I'm not taking any chances. I'm going to get a searching party.
A posse, that's what we need, huh?
I'll get the judge. He can swear us in as deputies. And Floyd, he's got a hunting rifle.
His brother raises bloodhounds?
Oh, we'll get him, too. And Doc Pettibone.
Can I come too, Unc? I'll bring my BB gun.
No, you'll go to school.
There's no school today.
Oh.
Nothing but that Christmas play this afternoon.
Well, go there and give your performance.
Oh, who wants to be in a Christmas play when his sister's being held prisoner somewhere in a one-room cabin?
Oh, you're not going to use this as an excuse to get out of the play, young man. Miss Goodwin's worked hard on it, and I want you to do the best you can.
You care more about Miss Goodwin than you do about finding Marjorie.
That's not true.
Then why can't I come? She's my sister.
Now let's not get excited. Nothing's happened to your sister.
Front door, I'll go.
Calm yourself. Nothing's happened to Marjorie. She's perfectly all right.
Good morning, Judge Hooker.
Judge, you're just in time. Marjorie's been kidnapped.
Raise your right hand. I, Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve.
I, Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve.
Being duly sworn.
Being duly sworn.
Do hereby promise that I will uphold the laws and constitution of this state.
Do hereby promise that I will uphold the constitution and laws.
Laws and constitution.
What's the difference?
That's the oath. I didn't write it. I just say it, will you?
Laws and constitution of this state.
Well, I guess that does it. By virtue of the authority vested within me, I now pronounce you a deputy sheriff.
Where's the badge?
Yes, what about a badge?
I haven't any badges. I don't carry them with me.
How's he gonna scare anybody?
The duty of a deputy sheriff is not primarily to scare people.
He ought to have a badge anyway. Even the junior G-men have badges.
Now there's something in what the boy says, Judge. Come in, Floyd.
Floyd!
Hello there, Judge. Well, I just closed up the shop the minute you called, Mr. Gildersleeve. Just stopped by the house to pick up my gun here.
Oh, thanks, Floyd. I don't like to ask this of you.
Oh, glad to do it. Gosh, if Marjorie was my girl, I'd feel the same.
Well, swear him in, Judge.
Don't need to.
He swore me in the time the camel got loose from the circus.
Oh, well, first we'll pick up Doc Pettibone, then I thought we'd go to the edge of town and start beating through the woods around Green Lake. You know, where we went moose hunting.
Good idea. Even if we don't get any kidnappers, we might get a shot at a rabbit.
Well, now wait a minute, Floyd. I think we ought to keep this exclusively a manhunt. If we don't, we'll never find Marjorie.
But suppose we just happen to see a rabbit.
You may shoot in self-defense.
I suggest we form sort of an organization before we start. Floyd should be the leader, in my opinion.
I'll ask you to kindly remember whose niece we're looking for, Judge.
But gosh, Unc, Floyd's got a gun.
So have I.
But Floyd's got a badge, too.
So he has. I think you should let me wear the badge, Floyd.
I don't see why.
All right, keep it. Nothing but a piece of tin, anyway.
It is not. It's the official badge of a deputy.
Forget the badge, Floyd. You too, Gildy. Let's get started looking for Marjorie.
Now we've got to wait for the dogs, Judge.
Dogs?
Now Floyd's brother's bringing the bloodhounds.
Oh?
Well, they're not exactly bloodhounds. They're more of a fox terrier.
Who ever heard of a manhunt with a fox terrier?
They're not pure fox terrier. There's a lot of Airedale on their mother's side.
What you're trying to say, Floyd, is the dogs are mutts.
Well, now, Judge, I think that's going a little far.
You're just quibbling, Judge. If we just...
That must be Harry now with the dogs.
Hello, Throckmorton.
Hello, Leela. I was expecting some dogs.
Well, I hope I'm not too much of a disappointment.
Oh, no. Come in, won't you?
Thank you. Mercy, what are all these people doing here? Good morning, Judge.
Good morning, Leela.
Who's that man with the shotgun?
Oh, that's just Floyd, Leela. He's my barber.
I still don't understand what he's doing with a shotgun.
Well,
Floyd, this is Mrs. Ransom.
Oh, I seen her going past the shop many's a time. Pleased to meet you.
How'd you do? Throckmorton, may I ask what in the name of goodness is going on here?
Well, this is no business for a woman, Leela. I've got a man's work to do this morning.
And two men to help him.
Well, that's what you're going to do with all you men?
Well, we're forming a posse to go out and find Marjorie.
What?
She's probably in the hands of kidnappers, Mrs. Ransom.
That's what I'm afraid of, Leela.
Why, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of.
There's nothing ridiculous about it. It's a very serious situation, and we're going to start out as soon as the bloodhounds get here.
Come on over here, Throckmorton. I want to have a word with you.
But I've got to start out on the search, Leela.
Please, Throckmorton.
Oh, all right. Excuse me a minute, fellas.
Now, Throckmorton, you listen to me. We've been good friends for a long time now, haven't we?
Oh, confound it, Leela. This is no time for billing and cooing.
I'm not suggesting any billing and cooing, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Oh, Snoopy old goat listens to everything.
I do not.
Never mind him. All I want to know is if you find Marjorie, how are you going to treat her?
What do you mean by that, Leela?
Are you going to behave like a bossy, old-fashioned father, or are you going to treat Marjorie with a little horse sense for a change?
Well, I've learned my lesson, Leela. If I find her, I'll never say a harsh word to her again. Is that all you wanted to say?
Well, I think this expedition with shotguns and all this is just a little silly. You're likely to find Marjorie much closer to home.
No? What do you know about it, Leela?
Didn't you ever hear of a woman's intuition?
No, we're not relying on a woman's intuition or a Ouija board either. We're going to search this town scientifically. And when we find those kidnappers, well...
Oh, poo!
Leela, we're going on a dangerous mission. Doesn't that mean anything to you?
You sound just like my late husband Beauregard, starting out on a fishing trip.
All right, make fun. We're going to find Marjorie. Are you ready, men?
Sure, we're ready.
Been ready for hours.
Well, just as soon as those dogs get...
That must be Harry now.
All right. To the manhunt. Floyd, shoulder arms. Judge, attention. Posse, forward, march!
Hello, Uncle Mort. Where are you going?
Oh, going out to find my niece. Don't bother me. Forward, Marjorie! Sweet little Marjorie, is it really you?
It's really me. Is it all right for me to come home?
Oh, my dear, I've been worried half sick about you. Please come home to your old uncle and never go away again.
I never will.
How do you like that? Now I gotta cut hair all afternoon.
Oh, Florida. I guess I won't be needing that posse now. Thanks just the same. Much obliged to you too, Judge.
Well, I'm glad it all turned out all right. Come on, Floyd.
Okay. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Hi, Marge. Glad you're back.
Leroy, it's so good to see you. Oh, you darling, I could...
No kissing now.
Aren't you glad to see me?
Yeah, but I gotta be in that play this afternoon. I'm saving my strength for Ethel Hammerslag.
We'll be there to watch you, my boy. Marjorie, aren't you going to say hello to Mrs. Ransom?
Well, Throckmorton, you silly. Where do you think Marjorie's been for the last 24 hours?
I don't know. I haven't any idea. Leela, has Marjorie been right there, right next door all this time?
Yes, she has, Throckmorton.
Well, that's not my idea of a humorous, practical joke.
Wait a minute, Uncle Mort. I was starting to run away, and Mrs. Ransom talked me out of it.
Well, then why didn't you come right home? I was suffering.
I knew you'd suffer, Throckmorton, but I wanted to teach you a lesson.
Well, I'm glad you did it. I hope I've learned it. Marjorie, if I ever try to boss you again, pay no attention to me.
But I want you to boss me, Uncle Mort. You're always right.
No, I'm not.
You were right about Wally.
No, I wasn't. He's a fine boy. He's been worried about you, too.
Well, I don't think I'll see him anymore.
Well, you should, Marjorie.
But I don't want to.
Marjorie, call up Wally Hoff this instant.
Throckmorton.
Oh, I mean, call him if you want to, my dear.
Well, it's beginning to look more like Christmas for our friend the great Gildersleeve, whom we join now in the auditorium of the Summerfield Grammar School. He and his niece Marjorie, along with several hundred other parents, relatives, and friends, are enjoying Miss Eve Goodwin's production of The Christmas Carol. But the show is almost over. In fact, we have arrived just in time to hear the epilogue, which is being read by Gildersleeve's nephew, Leroy.
Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father.
Well, the boy has real talent, Marjorie.
Yes, he has.
He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city ever knew, or any other city, town, or borough in the good old world. And it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well if any man alive possessed the knowledge. May that be said of all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone.
Well, well, little Leroy.
I think he was really wonderful.
Fine, fine. I couldn't have done it any better myself. Good afternoon, Judge.
Throckmorton. Marjorie.
Well, fine show, wasn't it?
I'd say it was pretty close to professional.
Well, I just never thought Leroy had it in him.
Leroy played his part well. Good characterization. But if you ask me, they all did well. I believe Miss Goodwin should be given a lot of credit for directing the production.
Oh, you're right, Judge. And as a member of the school board, I think I'll go backstage right now and tell her so.
As another member, I'll go with you.
Horace, there's no need both of us going.
Why not?
Oh, Judge, I was hoping you'd take me over to the refreshment table and buy me some sherbet.
Well, Marjorie, I can't resist an opportunity like that. Go on, Throckmorton. I'll have my fun with the younger generation.
All right, Judge. Marjorie, you're a very tactful young lady.
Have a good time, Uncle Mort, but don't forget you're on the school board.
I don't know what you mean.
See you later, Gildy.
Now, if I... Oops, pardon me. Merry Christmas. Excuse me, can I get through here, please? Never seen so many people. Ah. Now, she must be somewhere back here.
Hi, Unc. Looking for me?
Oh, you. Yes, Leroy. I wanted to congratulate you on your fine performance, my boy.
Thanks.
Whole show was fine.
It would have been better, except Scrooge got lost. He left out a whole page.
Is that so? Well, I'm sure no one noticed it. All the actors made a very good impression.
Okay, let's go home, huh? We still have to fix our tree.
Yes. I thought I might just have a word with Miss Goodwin, tell her how much we all enjoyed the entertainment.
Oh, I get it.
Just common courtesy, Leroy. Is she alone?
I think so. She's in the gymnasium, two doors down the hall.
Oh, thank you, my boy. Here's a quarter. Go buy yourself some sherbet.
Okay, but hurry up, will you?
I won't be long. Well, hello, Eve.
Hello, Throckmorton.
What's going on in here?
Nothing. I'm just packing up the properties.
But all this?
Oh, the decorations? There's going to be a little dance tonight for the eighth graders. Sit down, won't you?
I just wanted to congratulate you on a wonderful production.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. I've never enjoyed the Christmas Carol so much.
It is a lovely story, isn't it?
Yes, but you made it a lot better than Dickens ever could by himself.
It is nice of you to say so. I thought Leroy gave an awfully good performance this afternoon.
Well, he's a chip off the old block. That reminds me, which little girl was Ethel Hammerschlag?
She played the part of Leroy's wife.
Well, she's beautiful. Is that the girl Leroy's been complaining he had to kiss?
He fought it like a steer.
By George, I'm going to have to get that boy a tonic.
I wouldn't worry about him. I think when he finally got around to it, he liked it. How did you like the settings for our play, Throckmorton? I designed them myself.
Beautiful. Just like a slice of old England. And that dining room scene, I could almost smell the plum pudding.
That scene. We borrowed the table from Hogan Brothers, and we almost lost it.
How could you lose a dining room table?
They sold it and sent a van to take it away right in the middle of the show.
You don't say. People that go to a show don't realize what's going on behind the scenes, do they?
Oh, if they ever had any idea.
Yes. Eve, could I take you home?
I can't go home yet, Throckmorton. I have to go out and supervise the refreshments and talk to all the parents and, you know.
Oh, well, I thought it would be fun to walk along and look in the windows, see all the Santa Clauses, and say Merry Christmas to everybody. Can't you get away?
Not for a couple hours, I'm sure.
Well, I guess I'd better be going. If my... Eve? What's that over there?
What?
Hanging near the window.
Why, I don't know.
Well, come here. Let's see.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Now, do you see?
Oh.
Mistletoe.
No, Throckmorton, there are people around, and...
Merry Christmas, Eve.
Oh!
Well, well, Christmas comes but once a year, but it's great.
Throckmorton, you're naughty.
But why, if you can't kiss a girl named Eve on Christmas Eve, under the mistletoe, what good is democracy? What good is Christmas?
Hey, Marge, look at the tree now. Beginning to get pretty good, isn't it?
Very good, Leroy.
Oh, you didn't even look.
Yes, I did.
You didn't notice the big novelty.
Novelty? What have you thought up now?
There it is.
I don't get it.
Oh, for corn's sake, the tinfoil spells Xmas.
Oh, well, that's beautiful, Leroy. You spelled it right, too.
Are you kidding? I was going to put 1943 underneath, but there wasn't enough stuff.
That must be Uncle Mort.
Yeah, boy, he really congratulated Miss Goodwin, all right.
Well, well, happy little family. Why, the tree's almost finished.
Yeah, do you like it?
Beautiful, and it says Christmas. Your work, Leroy.
Yep, good, huh?
Very clever, my boy. Prevent visitors from mistaking it for an Easter lily.
I never get any appreciation around here.
Oh, I appreciate you, Leroy. The tree looks fine. Seems to be leaning a little, though.
Yeah, I think the stand is cockeyed.
Well, it's very simple, Leroy. Take off all the decorations, saw the bottom off the tree, put the stand back on, trim the tree again, and of course, it'll still be cockeyed.
Why don't you just leave it? It looks more natural leaning a little.
Well, that's what I say. Looks woodsy. Smells woodsy, too.
Well, that takes care of the tree. Now, where shall we put the mistletoe?
Mistletoe? Who said anything about mistletoe?
I've got some. Any suggestions on where it should go?
Oh, no, my dear. Mistletoe's nothing in my life. You put it where you like, Marjorie.
Well, how about right here in the doorway?
That's all right. That is, it's all right if you don't want any privacy.
Well, there's no use putting it in a dark closet. Nobody will see it.
Vestibule's a good place. But as I say, it's nothing to me.
You mean inside the front door? But it's so cold out there.
You don't seem to understand the idea of mistletoe, Marjorie. Just put it anywhere. Anywhere at all. Oh, answer the door, Leroy.
Okay.
Doorbell ring, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Oh, Leroy's taking care of it, Bertie.
Oh, my. The tree looks fine.
Yes.
Sags a little, though, don't it?
Oh, we can't help that, Bertie.
It's Mr. Peavy, Unc. I think he brought us a present.
Oh my goodness. Get a jar of Bertie's preserves and have Marjorie wrap it up. Quickly.
Okay.
Then bring it... Oh, hello, Peavy. Merry Christmas.
Here you are, Mr. Gildersleeve. I've just been inspecting the mistletoe your niece is hanging in the hall there.
In the hall? Well, that's the most public place in the house.
Well, it looks nice there.
The mistletoe's for kissing, Peavy.
Yes, I know.
Well, most people prefer to do their kissing unobserved. It's better that way.
Well, now, I wouldn't say that. Kissing's good anywhere, if I remember correctly.
You may be right there. Sit down, won't you, Peavy?
I can't stay, really. I just stopped in to bring you the compliments of the season.
Well, the same to you. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. I have a little Christmas...
Hey, Marge!
I brought you a little Christmas...
Hey, Marge! Come downstairs a minute.
All right.
What were you saying, Peavy?
I've brought your family a little Christmas remembrance, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Oh, well, Peavy, we've got something for you, too.
Oh, that's not necessary. What I've brought you is really nothing at all.
What do you mean by that?
Well, knowing of Leroy's fondness for sweets and assuming Marjorie's the same...
Yes, indeed, Peavy, and so am I.
Oh, then perhaps you'll accept this box of chocolates with the Christmas greetings of Mrs. Peavy and myself.
Chocolates? Leroy, bring down that present for Mr. Peavy.
Coming up!
Well, really now, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Oh, my goodness, chocolates. Why, chocolates are rarer than pearls these days.
Well, now, I wouldn't say that. The fact is, Mr. Gildersleeve, I found these in the store last week by accident. This particular box of chocolates somehow got in with the camphor balls.
camphor balls. Were they in there long?
Oh, no, they couldn't have been. I check my stock pretty carefully, every 6 months.
That's fine.
Here's your present, Mr. Peavy. Merry Christmas!
Well, thank you, Leroy. The same to you.
It's just a little Christmas delicacy, Mr. Peavy. I hope you and your wife enjoy it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Saves me a trip to your house.
Oh, gracious, I've got to be getting along.
Oh, it's not supper time yet, is it?
Oh, no, but Mrs. Peavy and I always open our Christmas stockings on Christmas Eve, and I haven't got hers filled yet.
Oh.
A candy cane's what I need, but I think I'll put in this Christmas horn instead. She'll like that.
I'm sure she will, Peavy.
Well, Merry Christmas again.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, here comes another caller for you. Oh, good evening, Mrs. Ransom. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Peavy, and to Mrs. Peavy, too.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Well, come in, Leela.
I've brought over a few things, Throckmorton.
A few? Why, Leela, all those packages.
Well, Throckmorton, I know you said that you and the children had decided not to exchange gifts this year and instead buy war stamps, but I figured that didn't include me, so I wanted you to have a few things under the tray.
Mm, that's very thoughtful, Leela. I'm sure the children will be pleased. Leela, I believe Christmas has put roses in your cheeks.
Really, Throckmorton? How can you tell here in the dark?
Well, look at what's above your head there, Leela.
Over my head? Oh, mistletoe.
Merry Christmas, Leela.
Oh, Throckmorton, all these bundles. Oh!
Who says Christmas comes just once a year? All right, Leroy, I'm afraid it's your bedtime.
Oh, can't we sing just one more song, Unc?
Well, just one. What it'll be.
White Christmas.
Nah, that's too slow.
How about Santa Claus is coming to town?
Nah, that's for kids.
Would you like Sunday, Monday, or always?
Nah, that's too mushy. How about Jingle Bells?
Oh, Jingle Bells it is, my boy. And let's all sing together for a change. All right, Leela.
Dashing through the snow
in a one-horse open sleigh,
o'er the fields we go,
laughing all the way.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride.
Great. Great. Well, come on, Leroy. I'll tuck you in bed.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Come on, Unc.
It'll be a little strange this Christmas with no presents.
War stamps are a fine present.
Oh, then you won't mind it very much?
No, I don't mind it. It makes me feel, oh, no, kind of important. Like I was really doing something.
Well, you are, my boy. You feel all right about it, don't you?
Yeah, I feel okay.
What were you going to say?
Well, I still don't see what harm it would have done to get me a dog.
Oh, you know I'm against dogs, Leroy. Still, come here a minute.
Where?
Here. Just to the head of the cellar stairs.
Cellar stairs? What's the...
Shh. Hear anything?
A puppy!
Yeah. Merry Christmas, Leroy. Get down! Merry Christmas, everybody. On behalf of our sponsors, the Kraft Cheese Company, and speaking for all of us here in the studio, I want to wish our listeners everywhere a very Merry Christmas. This year, of course, our thoughts go especially to our men and women in uniform, wherever they may be, and we join them in the hope that next Christmas may see them all home again, safe and sound. Good night, everybody.
Henry Morgan Show. And- And here's the star of the Henry Morgan Show, standing on his favorite corner in front of the cigar store.
Good evening, anybody. Here's Morgan. Thank you. Not so many Christmases ago, we broadcast a little Christmas story for children. And it was definitely for children, but we heard later that a number of grown-ups sneaked out of bed and listened. Well, you know how parents are, kids. Just when you think they're asleep, they come out of the bedroom with all kinds of excuses. They want a drink of water, or there's a tiger in the room, or their blanket fell on the floor or something. So this year, we might as well let them stay up and listen. But parents, no snickering. We're not going to stand for a lot of grown-ups sitting in front of the radio, shaking their heads doubtfully, as though we were making the whole thing up. Now, kids, if you noticed your mommy or daddy saying things like, "Oh, nonsense," or, "Well, that couldn't happen," just look them in the eye and say, "I find this story thoroughly credible." Of course, I don't have that kind of trouble with my parents. If they say, "Oh, nonsense," to me, I just don't give them tickets to my show. Now, it's a story and pretty good. And the story begins the day after Christmas, which you have to admit is an unusual day to begin a Christmas story. It's about two boys and a girl. They're named Norman, Joey, and Jeannie. How old are they? Oh, they're just about your age. And where do they live? Oh, just across the street. And the story begins. It's the day after Christmas, and Norman, great boy, is coming up the front walk to Joey's house, and he says,
"Hiya, Joey."
"Hi, Norman.
What presents have you got broken?"
Oh, I forgot to tell you. What he said was, "What presents have you got broken?" That's a very good line, too. Joey is sitting there looking at the ruins of an electric train, which it took a dozen graduate engineers to put together.
"What you doing, Joey?"
"I'm trying to figure out how to put this train together again."
"Who took it apart?"
"My father."
"Don't you know enough to not let your father fool around with your toys? Oh, they don't know what it's all about."
"Well, he was fooling around with the train and running it round and round. And after a while, she said they had a theory about how to make it run different."
"What's a theory?"
"I don't know. Something your father has when he tells you to hand him the screwdriver."
"What do you get for Christmas?"
"Oh, a sled and some skates and an erector set."
"Yeah, what else?"
"And the rest of the stuff is just useful stuff."
"Yeah, I got stuck with some of that, too."
"Hello, Norman."
"Hi, Jeannie."
"Hello, Joey."
"Joey, why don't you say hello to Jeannie?"
"She's my sister."
"Hey, Norman, I bet you didn't see Santa Claus."
"Oh, yeah, did you?"
"Sure."
"Did he come down the chimney?"
"We got radiators." "Oh, Joey. Mama says for you to come in and wash up for supper."
"Ah, don't bother me. What a pest the sister is. I ask for a brother and I get you."
"You better mind or Santa Claus won't bring you anything for Christmas."
"We just had Christmas, Smarty."
"Smarty yourself. I meant next year."
"Ha, you don't have to be good all year. I figure 2 weeks before Christmas is plenty."
"You do so too have to be good all year."
"Good all year for just one Christmas? Gee, that doesn't sound fair."
"Yeah, if you gotta be good every day on account of Christmas, then it ought to be Christmas every day. What do you think, Joey?"
"It ought to be, but it ain't. That's on account we got the wrong people in charge of it."
"Who, Joey?"
"You know, grown-ups."
You know, Joey is absolutely right. I can't blame him for wanting Christmas every day if he has to be good every day. And that's the way it looks to him. As he sits down to supper with Jean and his father and his mother on the day after Christmas.
"Did you wash out before coming to the table, Joey?"
"Yes, Mom."
"He didn't."
"I did."
"Didn't."
"Did."
"For goodness
didn't.
Sake,
did.
Children,
didn't.
Stop
did.
It.
Didn't.
Did. Didn't.
No, that's enough."
"Didn't."
"Didn't what, Jean?"
"I forgot."
"Joey, why don't you do me a favor and pass your plate?"
"Oh, Mom, I don't like turkey hash."
"Nonsense, son. It's delicious." "No, thank you, Mother. I don't believe I'll have any."
"Daddy, is that right what Jeannie said, that you have to be good all year for Santa Claus to come?"
"That's right, son."
"Gosh, if a fella's got to spend all his time being good, he never gets time to live a little. Isn't that right, Daddy?"
Of course, Joey."
"Father?"
"Oh, no, no, Joey. Of course not. Whatever your mother says. Mother, will you hand me that newspaper, please?
Here you are, dear. I haven't read it yet. What are the headlines?
General Eisenhower gives up presidential ambitions, announces he has become Republican. Say, here's an interesting item. You remember that woman in Boston who left $50,000 to her cat last year?
Yes.
The cat just died and left it to another cat.
Well, that's sensible.
Here's an interesting item.
Oh, read it, dear.
Park Avenue theater owners are lobbying in Washington against popcorn machines. Look at this headline. Snobby Lobby claims popcorn hobby makes their lobby slobby.
Daddy, what's a lobby?
Well, a lobby is a group of people who go to Washington to put pressure on congressmen so they'll pass a new law.
Can they get any kind of law passed?
Well, sometimes it seems that way.
Even if the president doesn't want it?
Especially.
Dad?
Yeah?
How far is it to Washington?
Well, this plot is not getting any thinner. Joe's getting an idea to have a law passed, sort of a new OPA, overthrow parents' authority. And naturally, the first thing he has to do is tell Norman.
Hey, Norman, we gotta start a lobby.
Okay, what's a lobby?
Well, a lobby is when you go to Washington and tell the senator to pass a law.
Who does?
Anybody. Us. We could do it. We got rights just like people.
No kidding.
Sure, you just go to Washington and tell them to pass a law like no schooling. No washing up for supper, no spanking, no running errands.
They wouldn't pass all those laws.
Yeah.
But I know how you can get everything you want with just one law.
Yeah.
On Christmas, you don't go to school, you don't run errands, and you don't get spanked. Isn't that so?
Yeah.
So we'll just get the senator to pass a law making every day Christmas.
Jiminy.
Santa Claus would come every day, too.
You suppose he would?
He'd have to if it was the law.
Jiminy!
We haven't got a chimney, we've got a radiator.
Aww.
So, the three children have decided to go to Washington. And while the kids are packing their little overnight bags and buying their little railroad tickets, why don't we sit back and listen to little Fran Warren, who is still dreaming of a white Christmas as she sings, "Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow."
Hi, Henry. Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I bought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. Oh, the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. And as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Thank you, Fran. Thank you, Fran. Now we go back and join the three kids, Joey, Norman, and Jean, who, you probably remember, have decided to go to Washington as the head of a children's lobby to get a law passed making every day Christmas. They carry with them a petition signed by such leading American figures as Butch Jenkins and Margaret O'Brien. And so to Washington, where the three children have just arrived.
Gee whiz, look at all the big buildings around. What's that thing?
I saw a picture of that once. That's the Washington Monument.
Wow, he was tall.
My mother says that maybe I'll grow up to be president.
Oh, they don't have girl presidents.
Why not?
Well, a president has to make laws and speeches and wars and things like that.
Yeah.
All ladies do is cook and go shopping and take care of the kids.
Well, they can do all that other junk in their spare time.
Hey, let's ask someone where we can find some senators. Hey, here's a man. Let's ask him. Hello, mister.
Hiya.
We just came to Washington. We have to go someplace in an awful hurry.
Who's stopping you?
We don't know exactly where to go.
What's the matter? You lost?
No, we came to Washington to get something done.
You're lost.
No, we ain't lost. We got important business. We're going to see a real senator.
Big deal. If you're looking for senators, why don't you go to the Senate building? It's on S Street.
They told us it was on O Street.
I tell him S, he tells me O.
Thanks, mister. Hope we see you again sometime.
Yeah, likewise.
Mister, what's this building?
This is the Bureau of Printing and Engraving.
What's that?
Well, this is where we make all the paper money.
My daddy makes a lot of money.
I hope he doesn't make it the way we do.
How much money you got in here, huh?
Oh, I don't know. I just keep making it. Then I never know where all that money goes.
That's just what daddy always tells mommy.
I tell you something, though. Last week alone, I made $20 million.
Gosh.
Last month, I made $200 million. For the year, I made $3 billion. And here's a sample of my work.
Gosh.
A picture of a penny.
Here's another place. Maybe they can help us here.
I'll open the door.
Look here, Jones. Haven't you found my fountain pen yet?
No, sir, and I've looked everywhere for it.
Well, now, that pen's been missing for 3 weeks. Can't anybody in this place ever find anything?
What does it say on the door, Joey?
Federal Bureau of Investigation. Hey, Norm, maybe this is the place.
Yeah, it says Senate Committee. Let's go in.
Yes, what is it? I'm a busy man. Where are you from?
Well, sir, we're from PS 58.
Well, what congressional district?
Huh?
I said, what congressional district? The third, fourth, fifth?
Oh, we're from the third grade.
Miss Horton's our teacher.
Horton? Horton? I don't know any Miss Horton.
Gee, didn't you ever go to school?
Of course I went to school. That was 40 years ago.
Oh, Miss Horton must have been there then.
Well, now listen, children. You just can't come walking in here. After all, this is the government.
I know. Government of the people, by the people, and for the people.
Say, that's pretty good. Do you know who said that?
Yes, sir, Miss Horton.
Huh. Now, children, what can I do for you? I'm a busy man.
Mr. Senator, we came here about Christmas.
Yeah, we don't think one Christmas a year is enough. We'd like to have Christmas every day.
Christmas every day? Well, I can't blame you. Well, when I was young, I also had dreams. So now, I don't dream of making everyone happy. I don't dream of solving all problems. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
What?
You don't sleep so good.
Of the people, by the people, for the people. Miss Horton said that, eh?
Yes, sir.
And we believe it, too.
I see. Well, let me ask you something, kiddies. Are you now, or have you ever been, a member of...
They didn't get very far with that senator, but they weren't discouraged. After all, a child who can nag his mother into giving him an all-day sucker just before dinner is not going to be discouraged by a senator. And the children began to pick up support around the country. Newspaper headlines said,
Kids claim, cloakroom quorum!
One paper voted the minority opposition group with the headline,
Anti-kid block blocks kids lock.
And on the air, you heard reports like this.
Ladies and gentlemen, your favorite news commentator, Walter Morgan.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea. All right, already. The Children's Committee for Christmas Every Day continues to meet with congressional biggies, also smallies. Lawmakers are weakening the poor lollipop lolly. And insiders said they didn't have a chance. Ha! All right, already.
But, Mr. Secretary, we want it awful bad.
Ridiculous. Absurd. Flagrantly unconstitutional. Undermines the foundation of our government. Of the people, by the people, and for the people, as was said by that great statesman, Miss Horton of PS 58. Your proposal is undoubtedly a priori and an e pluribus. Now, what do you say to that? Now, stop that right now. You can't You're just trying to... Oh, all right!
Ah, a woman's tears. How important they've been to history. If it weren't for a woman's tears, civilization wouldn't have many of its wonderful inventions. Mink coats. Diamond bracelets. Babies. And so the children's lobby made progress. And on the air, you heard...
Ladies and gentlemen, your favorite news commentator, H.V. Calton Morgan.
Good morning. Tonight, the news from Washington concerns the United Nations delegate from Russia, who is, I understand, Russian. And there is a discussion of the future of the United Nations, which, in my opinion, it lies ahead, is maybe nothing, or, on the other hand, something. Or both. Which is unlikely. At least at this time. Meanwhile, the children's lobby is making considerable progress in Washington. It looks very much as if the president will... Good night.
And finally, late on the next day...
Hey, Norman, let's try this place. We haven't been here.
Okay, Joey, let's go up the steps.
Oh, welcome to the White House, children. Is there anything I can do for you?
Well, we'd like to have a law passed.
I know just how you feel.
This will be a very popular law. You see, we want to...
Just a moment, kiddies. Just a moment. Margaret! Just a moment. Margaret! Well, kiddies, I feel this way about it. You can please some of the people some of the time, and some of the people all of the time. But you can't please some people any of the time.
If you pass this law, you'll please all of the kids all of the time.
All right. I'll do it. Have a glass of buttermilk.
Ladies and gentlemen, your favorite news commentator, Gabriel Morgan.
Oh, there's good news tonight. There's a little light burning in the White House tonight. And there's something about the sight of a white light burning in the House of White that makes a man want the shadow so all the world can hear. Oh, there's good news tonight! Oh, and the little children are rejoicing tonight, all over the world tonight. I've just been handed a flash, and it says, good night.
And so the law was passed, making every day of the year Christmas. Every day of the year. And there were great changes throughout the land. The George Washington Bridge was torn down to make erector sets. The Ford assembly lines converted overnight to making four-door tinker toys. On the stock market, the flexible flyer went up and down. And every poor little girl had a mama doll. And every rich little girl had a mater doll. Did this make boys and girls happy? It is now 1 year later. The children have had Christmas every day for a year. The time is now December 24th, and the same two little boys are talking.
Hello, Norman.
Hello, Joey.
What you got there?
A sled.
How many sleds you got?
364.
Me too.
How many footballs you got?
364.
How many skates you got?
728.
Hello, fellas.
Hello, Jeannie. What do you got there?
Oh, another old doll.
What's its name?
Ditto.
You know, I broke the window on the garage today.
Gee, that's cool. Maybe you won't get any presents.
Nah, they forgave me.
Why?
Because it's Christmas.
Oh, gee. Christmas every day.
I sure miss the 4th of July.
Yeah, me too.
I sure wish we had 4th of July every day.
Now don't start that again. Oh, look, fellas. Here comes Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Well, hello, children. Merry Christmas. Ho, 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 ho.
What's so funny?
Well, here it is Christmas again. I have the peachiest presents for all you children. Norman, would you like to see what I brought you?
Nah.
Oh, I got the best sled in the whole world for you.
You gave me the same thing yesterday.
Oh, this one's got fog lights and ashtrays and a radio and chromium bumpers.
I got that kind.
I know, but this one's a convertible.
I don't want it.
Oh, now don't make me take it back.
to the North Pole again. You know what we agreed, fellas. No returns.
Okay, okay. Put it on that pile over there.
Well, fine. Goodbye, and Merry Christmas.
And Santa?
Yeah?
How about not coming tomorrow?
Not come tomorrow?
Yes, why don't you skip tomorrow and make it a holiday?
Oh, I'd love to, children. My feet are killing me. Well, you know it's Christmas every day. It was your idea. See you tomorrow. Christmas, you know. Oh, those bells. I think I'll put in a buzzer. Well, goodbye.
You know, kids, Christmas all year round is awful.
I want the job to be repealed.
Job priori.
An e pluribus.
Down with Miss Horton.
On to Washington.
Yeah!
And so the children talked to the man in Washington, who repealed the law and changed Christmas back to once a year. And all the children were happy again. And the moral of the story is, ne aut quantarutum, ne ar quantaratum, ne alodemus, as said by that great Latin scholar and philosopher, Miss Horton of PS 58. Translated, it means, Merry Christmas, everybody, and a Happy New Year to you all.
Christmas comedies included Father Knows Best, originally broadcast December 24th, 1953. The Great Gildersleeve, originally broadcast December 19th, 1943. And The Henry Morgan Show, originally broadcast December 26, 1946. Christmas Comedies has been a production of the On the Air Radio Players and is sponsored by the Henrico County Department of Recreation and Parks. The voices and sound effects artists for tonight's show have been Karen Charlotte, Ori Cruz, Deborah Dudak May, Bob Dutton, Vaughn Gary, Mary Gilligan, Corey Hull, Charlie Laris, Dale Leopold, Don Pulaski, Rochelle Pauser, Andy Resnick, Emily Robinson, Jim Scott, Pat Walker, and Jessica Wright. Music was furnished by Margie Langston. Christmas Comedies was directed by Charles Wax. Our production managers were Sean Hambright and Bob Dutton. Script editing by Bob Dutton. Tonight's sound recording engineer has been Devin Langston. Be sure to join us again March 1st and 2nd as the studio audience here at the Glen Allen Cultural Arts Center for the next production of the On the Air Radio Players when we present Lux Radio Theater's The 39 Steps. Visit our website, www.otarp.com, to learn more about the On the Air Radio Players. You'll find information on future shows, including audition and show dates. You can also download past productions, including The Philadelphia Story and My Man Godfrey. This is your announcer, Vaughn Gary, speaking. Good night and happy listening.